Hey guys, guess what?
I think Sebastian Aho is becoming a franchise player.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report, your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes, hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report, and it's just me, Sam Wallace. Sam Driscoll is away. He is out of state this weekend, so you guys will be listening to one freak instead of just two freaks. I'm just kidding, but that's what you guys will be having for this episode. And yes, I'm going to be talking a lot about Sebastian Aho this episode. Kind of gave you a hint there in my one-liner. So yeah, we're going to be talking about him a lot because I think he has really grown into a franchise player, and I am going to be explaining why throughout this episode. But first things first, if you are new to this podcast, what we usually do is we have podcast news, NHL news, Hurricanes news, and then we review Hurricane games. And we have it Mondays and Fridays where we release the episodes. Reason why is because we can usually remember a couple games better than doing a weekly episode of like probably an hour. And it gets a little bit harder for us to remember like three or four games. So we like doing it like this. Those are for those who have just started now listening to us. And hey, ever since that trade deadline, we have started getting lots of traction lately. So thank you for spending time out of your day for listening to us. So first things first, for podcast news, we have a great partnership with SeatGeek. You get $20 off of your first order when you use promo code CaniacReport, all one word. It's a great deal. You can use it at PNC Arena or any place, even if you're not in North Carolina, and any venue that sells tickets via SeatGeek. Because I know we have listeners outside of North Carolina. If you have venues that sell tickets for SeatGeek, you can definitely use that. It is a great deal. I would do it if I were you. The next thing is that we have a link for donations. And for those of you that feel like, hey, you know what? I want to give because I think you're doing a great job and I want to support you guys. I think that is awesome for you guys doing that. And if you want to find a way of donating to us, in each episode description, there is a link to a PayPal account to where you can give. And another thing too, for podcast news, is the last thing, is if you follow us on social media, you probably noticed that we did a ticket giveaway for the Toronto game. And we are proud to announce that the winner of it, once I bring up the Twitter name, RedmanJBJ, for winning the ticket giveaway. Now, for those of you who have listened to us for a while, we usually, or at least started this season, started announcing these ticket giveaways only on our episodes. Well, life came up for Sam and I, and we kind of had to maneuver a few things, and this was the only way for us to do it. It was the last-minute thing for the Toronto game. It's not something we want to get in the habit of. We really don't, because our priority still is to give those that listen to us the priority of winning season tickets. Last season, we did it. We started out doing it on social media. Now we're doing it if you listen to our episodes, and we're still going to do that. But life just happened to both of us. So we kind of just go ahead and released it on our social media on both Twitter and Instagram. Again, this is not a habit we are going to get into We are going to revert back to where you have to listen to our episodes in order to participate in the giveaway. So if you follow us, you probably already knew that. But if you don't, that's what happened. And it's going to be the last, probably the last giveaway of the season. But you know what? Both Sam and I, we still have season tickets for the full season ticket package for the next season. So once next season starts, we will be doing another thing of monthly ticket giveaway opportunities. And like what Sam said in previous episodes before, we might be doing another ticket giveaway for a playoff game, but only if we can hit 1,500 followers on, I believe it was 1,500. Whatever what Sam said in the previous episodes, that's what it was, because he's the one that came up with it. And I thought that was a cool idea to do. So there is that opportunity as well. So that's all for podcast news. Now we're going to get to some NHL news. And pretty light on NHL news. I do know Tom Wilson. If you remember him, probably know him pretty well if you're a Canes fan, because we are considered a pretty huge rival with Washington, and that's the team he plays for. He got suspended 6 games for high-sticking Noah Gregor. I thought, to me personally, this was going to be more games. Now, obviously, there are speculations of him being close friends with George Parris, who I believe is like the director of the NHLPA, Players Association. And if it is, then I could see why this is. But at the same time, I'm not really, I mean, one thing for you guys to know about me is I'm not a huge conspiracy theorist guy. And I'm not saying that this isn't true, but I could see people making conspiracy theory stories off of this. So I always try to be sure to have the facts straightened out before anything. So yes, Tom Wilson got 6 games. I mean, I think you can definitely argue for more games. The history is not friendly to Tom Wilson when getting suspended. In fact, I'd probably argue, if this was under my judgment, probably 10 games. But I'm not head of the NHL, PA, and player safety stuff. So he only gets 6 games. I think it could have been more, to be honest, because of the history that he's had. And we all know, well, we might not all know, but I at least know that player safety, when they talk about this stuff with players, they really look at a player's history in determining the amount of length for a suspension. It can range from 1 to, I think, maybe 6 games might be the max. I can't remember. I don't even have the research for that. But, I mean, 6 games is pretty big. I do think it is. But, I mean, looking at Tom Wilson's history, again, I think it could have been more. That's all I'm going to say. Another piece of NHL news. The Predators are hot right now. The Nashville Predators specifically. And they have set a new franchise record of a 16-game point streak. And to me, that is something to kind of talk a little bit about, because Nashville is really hot right now. I think they do have a pretty good team. You have Roman Josi, who I think is a great captain. He's a great defenseman for them. Very good. You have a goal scorer in Philip Forsberg. You have a great goaltender in UC Saros. So they kind of have the ingredients of being a pretty good team. And it really does look like they're going to make the playoffs. Now, the Central, which is the division that they're in, of course, does look to be a pretty tough division. You have Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado. So it's probably going to be a little bit tough for Nashville to get up into the top three, but they're definitely playing like a top three team, considering that they're on like a 16 game point streak. That's just crazy. But that team has been very, very good. Lots of talent on that team, and it really has been good. Ryan O'Reilly has been pretty good for them. Tommy Novak, Luke Evangelista, who's a rookie for them, has been doing pretty good. So yeah, lots of things have been going their way, which I mean, I don't have any beef against Nashville. I don't know any Canes fans that have any beef against Nashville. But, I mean, good for them. And I think the reason why we don't have any beef is because they're not really in our conference. So, good for Nashville, I guess. And that's kind of all for NHL news. Now we're going to get to some Hurricanes news. And this is when I'm going to talk a little bit about Aho here. First up, though, a little bit of an injury report. Jesper Fast apparently was nicked up. Nothing said about what was happening, keeping him out, but that I've seen. But seems like he might be out for a few games. Now, the good thing is, seems like Carolina's getting healthier. Obviously, Tara Vinan was back against Washington, and Jack Drury will be back against Toronto, as I am recording this before, or actually most of this recording before the Toronto game. So it's good that Carolina's getting healthier. I mean, I hate to see Lemieux getting out, but Jack Drury overall is the better player than Lemieux. Lemieux's out there to be sandpaper, to be irritant, and honestly, he's doing more than that, I think. I think he's actually trying to score, and I think he's looking pretty good. So it's nice to see this team is getting healthier, one player at a time. The next piece of news is Aho. And Aho is now in the top 3 point scoring category in franchise history. The two players above him, Rod Brind'Amour and Ron Francis. And this player, I mean, I've been a Canes fan for quite some time. And honestly, ever since the year they won the cup was when I became a Hurricanes fan. And seeing Aho's career with the Hurricanes, which is the only career he's had, is with the Hurricanes, he really has turned into a franchise player. And it seems like I do think he gets better every season. I remember his rookie season. I was like, hey, this guy looks to be pretty good. 19 years old. He's definitely going to be a future Hurricane for some time if he keeps playing like this. Well, you know what? He steps it up. Now, during the early years with the Hurricanes, while he was doing pretty good, he would also have those long lapses, if you remember, of watching the Hurricanes back then, long lapses of not really scoring points. It really has seemed that even though there are still some scoring slumps, you can still have an impactful game and not score. I truly believe that, and that's what Aho's doing. He might not give you points, but he's becoming an impactful player, and that is what we are seeing with Aho, is almost every shift, he is impactful. And I'm so happy to see his career growth. Started out being a good player, but streaky, very streaky, to now being almost pretty impactful, and the impactfulness is starting to impact the points. I mean, we're seeing this. He almost has 80 points so far this season heading into the Toronto game tonight. Again, it could change. I think it will change because that Aho line has been doing fantastic. I love it. Jarvis, Aho, Gensel. That probably, I mean, that line right there most likely makes Tom Dundon wonder about the contract situations that he will be having after the season. Because to be honest, if it was up to me, I'm like, you know what, that first line's really good. I like to keep that line. And I could see it to where we try to resign both Gensel. I mean, Jarvis to me is a lock. Now, whether he gets a bridge deal or a long-term deal is up to Jarvis's camp and the Hurricanes camp, but if that line's doing really, really good, I think that really kind of a little bit favors Gensel of possibly staying with the Hurricanes and not going to free agency. Now, I do think it is 50-50. I think we need to see more of Gensel, and especially his performance in the playoffs with us, but I could see him coming back. And to me, the player, well, I guess there are two players I could see possibly being traded or being out on the market is Necas and Teravainen. Now, with Necas, honestly, I'd probably keep him over Teravainen. And now Teravainen, he's a little bit more consistent. You know what he's going to give you. Necas, he's a burst of energy. He can help you tremendously, or he can hurt your team pretty badly with turnovers. But right now, and if Necas can continue this into the playoffs, that's going to be the real test. If he continues that into the playoffs, I think Don Waddell's mind is going to be like, okay, my goal is to try and re-sign Gensel. If he does good in the playoffs for us, again, I think playoffs is the most determinant factor here. And you need it to be, because there's a team in Toronto where when Kyle Dubas was general manager for them, I think he only really rated his top players by regular season performances, not playoff performances. Because, I mean, playoffs, look at Toronto, they've choked. They have. And I don't know if, I mean, Matthews, he's a great player, but, I mean, that's a whole discussion for another time. But, I mean, looking at Necas, Teravainen, Jarvis Gensel, I really could see Teravainen being on the outs. I just could. I could see it coming, and I wouldn't be surprised. But regardless, Aho, he's been fantastic. I think he is a franchise player for sure on this team. And heck, we all know he's going past Rob Brind'Amour. Question is, can he pass Ron Francis? I think that's the biggest thing to Aho. And another thing, too, I think Aho was... With Aho, I think what he's more concerned about is winning a Stanley Cup, not really passing Ron Francis in points. He might get to that area of maybe trying to pass Francis when he's a little bit older and probably have already won a Stanley Cup by then. But Aho, he's been just fantastic. And that whole line of him, Gensel, and Jarvis have just been awesome. The next piece of Hurricanes news, this is more of prospects news, because I do try to include prospects in here, and I love the prospect side of things when it comes to hockey, more so than Sam. But Jackson Blake, who I believe was a fourth round pick for us, I believe. I'm going to check just to be sure. Yeah, so he is a fourth round pick selected in the 2021 draft. He has been playing amazing in college ice hockey, NCAA specifically. 59 points in 39 games for the University of North Dakota. He is, and because of that, and part of the reason why I'm telling you this news is because he is named a top 10 finalist for the Hobie Baker Award. And for those who don't know, the award is given to the top NCAA ice hockey player. And that's pretty good, and I can see why, especially looking at those points. So good for Jackson Blake. The only thing I do agree with when it comes to prospects is it's nice seeing them hitting these points. I think it helps their stock. But ultimately, what comes down to is, can they be an impactful player at the NHL level? At least that's coming from the perspective of someone who probably works for an NHL team like the Hurricanes. So we'll see how that does. I think it's really helping his value of, or I would say value and probability of making the NHL. But obviously you have multiple factors that weigh into the probability of making the NHL, not just points. So Good for Jackson Blake, though, regardless. And congratulations to him for being a nominee for the Hobie Baker Award. So, yeah, that's all for hurricane news. And now we're going to get to recapping both the Washington and the Toronto games. But before we do, let's get to our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved. Okay, now we're going to get to that wild, chaotic Washington game. This was just pure insanity. And before we even get to the game itself, I do want to point out Tara Vinen was back on the ice for this game. And he was slotted in with Kuznetsov and Necas. And Svech was playing with Staal and Martinuk. And to be honest, I am completely fine with that. Because Svech, I mean, he's going through it right now. We all do. Now, granted, he's still getting the points like a top six player would. So, I mean, I wouldn't freak out about it. I think the biggest thing with Svech right now is we just need to give him time. And I think what's great is that he does have time with the remaining games before the playoffs start to try and get his mojo back. Because we know he doesn't really have the confidence right now in his shots. I mean, he keeps missing the net in his shots. He's making some poor choices with the puck. Trouble handling the puck. It's just, I mean, you can tell he's going through it. I think he will get out of it. He is skilled enough a player to get out of it. The only thing, and I mean, this happens to young players in general. He's 23 years old, so he definitely classifies in that category. But usually with players around his age, they usually let their confidence dictate their play instead of letting their play dictate their confidence. And I think that's what's happening with Svech. You can tell this is a confidence problem. It really is. And he's just going to need to get that confidence back and make it to where it's where his confidence isn't going to be dictating his play. His play dictates his confidence. Because we know he can be a good player. He knows he's a good player. And I think if he can start believing in that, and I'm not saying he doesn't, but it doesn't look at it at this point in this game. But once I do think he's a good player. I think he can get out of it. I really do. He's still putting up points. Now, points don't mean anything. They are not the full picture. It's also the eye test. And we all know the eye test right now with Svech is a little bit more alarming than the points. That's why we are having these complaints. But I do think he'll get out of it. So, I'm completely fine with him playing on the Staal line because he does need to earn that ice time. Brendan Morris is not a player that's going to scratch him. He's not like John Tortorella that's going to scratch the captain. And if I see if I see Brendan Moore scratching Staal, I'm be like, who is impersonating Rob Brindamore? That is not Rob Brindamore. I'd probably say that's John Tortorella. But Brindamore, obviously you can tell when a player's not playing well, he doesn't automatically scratch them. He reduces their ice time. That's what he usually does. And he really is a player's coach because he was a player before and he wants to treat his players same way he wants to be treated if he was a player. So I think Rod is handling this pretty well. I am completely fine with Svech playing on Staal's line as of now until he gets his confidence back up. So completely fine with that. And now first period starts out. I mean, you have Aho scoring from Gensel and Slavin. That is a great goal from Aho, and that line continues to be stellar. And funny thing enough, even though this was not a defensive game, I thought Slavin was pretty good. I really did. But you also have Washington tying it up with Milano. Milano had a heck of a night, scoring 3 goals. That was his first of those 3 goals. And then you have Slavin scoring from KK and Nason, and that goal really had KK just mainly doing all the work and then passing it to Slavin and Slavin did the easy parts, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So good for Slavin and good for KK for battling and trying to get that puck to Slavin. That was 90% of the work of why that goal existed. So end of the first period, 2-1, pretty good. Go into the second period, not so good. You have Ovechkin scoring, and we all know we don't like it when Ovechkin scores. And then you have Milano scoring too. And that second Milano goal, I was like, holy crap. I just could not believe Milano was able to kind of pull that off by going baseball style with the puck. Like, that was just amazing. And I can't really blame Kochetkov on that goal. And quite a few of these goals, I really don't blame. Like, the Ovechkin goal, Ovechkin just kind of a little bit out-muscled and outsmarted Teravainen there on the power play. Penalty kill wasn't really that good. But I mean, Kochetkov, I don't really blame him for a few of these goals. Now, obviously, Carolina started to turn the tide with Aho scoring from Gensel. What a great pass that was from Gensel right across the ice as Aho just was able to get open and score. And then you have Shea scoring from Natchez, another type of goal, I think, that resembled the Slavin goal a little bit. Natchez was really just out-hustling the Washington player that was guarding him. Can't remember the Washington player, but Natchez was really trying to fake him out. He passes it to Shea, and Shea has a bomb load of a goal. And to me, that's something that Darcy Kuemper needs to have. To be honest, I thought Kochetkov probably had, to me, I think, a better game than Kuemper. Obviously, Kuemper was taken out of the game at the end of the second. Charlie Lindgren took his place, so I think just by looking at that, you can tell Kuemper was not having a good game. So there's that. And obviously at the end of the second, it's pretty much tied. No, it is Carolina leading 4-3 heading into the third period. So we're still feeling pretty good. And then in the third period, it's John Carlson scoring. And then Milano scores. And that makes it to where we're down by 1 again. And then, but you have Jarvis scoring. Jarvis is continuing his goal scoring thread, which has just been amazing. And that's an assist from both Gensel and Svech. So at least Svech was able to get a point that game, which is good, even though I think us fans pretty much do have the expectation of Svechnikov getting his goal scoring up instead of his assist numbers. So that's good that Jarvis scores. He ties it, but then Connor McMichael scores for Washington, and then Aho ties it. And what's funny about that goal is Aho didn't really use his stick to get that goal. he just used his, I think, skates or leg. And it goes in off of a deflection of his leg, obviously, or skates. And that ties the game. And we're heading into overtime. And all of us fans, I'm sure if you were watching the game, were like, what is going on? This is like madness. And another thing, too, that happened in this game, we had two disallowed goals. Yeah, the offsides one, which I don't think there's any controversy off of when it comes to the offside stuff, because it really does show whether a player is offsides or onside. So I think the offsides challenge has been very good. I don't think there's been any complaints on that. Now, obviously, he had a goal taken off for the goalie interference, which said that would have made, I believe, 3-1, but that was waved off because of, I can't remember the play, our player, maybe it was Lemieux. I can't remember, but obviously, to me, it looked like Kemper was initiating contact, but I knew it was coming off, and the reason why is because whenever there is a player, or at least an attacking player, in the defending team's goal crease, it's going to come back because the goalie has every right to his goal crease, and our player was in the crease there. So I knew that was coming back, and I believe it was the Connor McMichael goal, which I think Brendan Moore probably thought he would challenge because there was skate contact, but it's one of those things where I do wish he would have challenged it, but at the same time, I kind of understand why he did it, because our penalty kill hasn't been that good, and it's been a trend of a goal-scoring game. So I understand why he did it. I do. But I still would like to see him challenge. That's my perspective on the whole goalie interference thing. And, of course, what is goalie interference? We're never going to figure that out, unfortunately, I think, in the NHL. But overtime in Washington, obviously, I think us Canes fans, while we were watching that game, me included, really, I mean, a mishook on Aho. We knew that was a penalty. And, I mean, I was frustrated because it was obvious, but I guess it is what it is. And also in that overtime, too, I mean, Kochetkov kicks Carlson to the ice. And apparently, if the refs actually called that penalty, it would have been a match penalty. So that's not good. But I do want to say that kicking, I think that if you look at it, I think it's pretty obvious Kochetkov did kick with intent there on Carlson. And I'm going to be consistent with this. Like what Svetch did, if you remember, in that Philadelphia game where he tried to do a pointless cross check to one of the Philadelphia players at the end of a play. I'm going to call that out the same I'm going to call out Kochetkov for kicking Carlson. I don't think that really needs to be in the game. I really don't. So I'm trying to stay consistent with that. Now, obviously, the Washington game goes to a shootout, and Strom wins it for Washington. I kind of had the feeling Washington was going to win it because, especially at the point when Gensel couldn't score, because I was like, well, yeah, we're probably not going to win. And we didn't. But you know what? I kind of look at this game as a way of, you know what? Hurricanes have been playing so many games this month. They're probably tired. And I thought they looked tired against Washington and even a little bit against Philly, too. So I think Carolina's just been tired. If they get a point against Washington, I am completely fine with that. When Hurricanes lost that game, I was honestly like, you know what? I am fine with that. Hurricanes have won 5 games in a row coming into Washington. You knew they were going to lose eventually because, I mean, you're just going to in an 82-game season. And, yeah, it is what it is. I am willing to accept the loss. Washington definitely needed points more than we did. Now, the Toronto game. This game, wow. It was just very competitive all throughout from the start of the first to the end of the third. Now, the thing is, Carolina had a bunch of chances. Staal had a breakaway. Martinook had a breakaway. Gensel had a breakaway. And Gensel also had a penalty shot. So, Carolina had a lot of these breakaways, two long rush chances, like Aho and Jarvis in one instance. And I believe Jarvis and Staal in one on the penalty kill. Like, there are so many chances for Carolina to score. And, I mean, you're wondering, with this game feeling really tight, margin of error being very slim, I mean, I was thinking, being like, I hope those chances don't come back to bite the Hurricanes, because we know how good Toronto's offense is. Even with Marner out, they still have Tavares, Nylander, and Matthews. And Matthews was buzzing, I thought. I thought Matthews was Toronto's best player easily. He had so many chances, but one of the difference makers for the Canes was Frederik Andersen. Andersen was great, and yes, he should be the first star of the game. I believe it was, obviously, Andersen was the first, and then Aho, and then Shea, I believe. But Shea, I thought, had a really good game, too, because not only did he score the first goal, but he helped Andersen in a big way of not letting that puck trickle in between Anderson's pad and the post from Matthews. Again, Matthews was, I thought, Toronto's best player. But Andersen was able to stop him. Andersen had a 2-on-0, like two Toronto players right in front of him. I believe that was in the third period, and he was able to stop it. Now, obviously, he couldn't stop everything because Nick Robertson gets the one goal for Toronto, but he did not let that affect his performance, which I thought was really, really good. Andersen was able to stand tall throughout the entire game. I thought, now, Turbo came back. I thought he played pretty decent game, I thought. With Staal and Martinook, that line I thought was actually pretty solid. And yeah, Aho's goal, I thought, I mean, he got a little bit lucky there, but I still believe you need to work to earn that luck. And he was able to work in the way of trying to get in a position to where he could pass, but also if the pass didn't work, he was able to kind of let that pass work to his advantage a little bit. Again, yes, he did ultimately get lucky, but, I mean, just smart by Aho of trying to go for a pass. Because we all know he was trying for the pass there. But Aho gets the goal. I mean, he didn't shoot the puck, but a goal's a goal. And sometimes you got to get those awful goals. Awful goals is going to happen. Where it's like, I didn't mean to do that, but, or I would say another scenario of an awful goal would probably be just a huge, maybe scrum, maybe in front of the goalie. But Aho, I thought, played really good. I thought that first line was really good. Kuznetsov line, I thought they had moments too. But I really thought the Aho line was the best line. Aho continues to be very good. Gensel got an assist on the Aho goal, so he's racking up the assist. Again, Gensel could have had two goals tonight. He could have, but Justin Wolf for Toronto, I thought he played very good, because really was a goaltending battle. The amount of chances Carolina had, I mean, they could have had 6-1, but Wolf was playing very solid for Toronto, and he kind of kept Toronto in the game. And even though now here's the thing, I didn't think Carolina was bad. I thought Carolina was pretty good, but there were moments where Toronto was really kind of helming Carolina in Carolina's end. So sometimes you got to have your best defenseman be your goalie. And Anderson was. Anderson, to me, was probably the best player. And then I would say Aho was your second. Overall, just a very, very great win. 2-1 win. And man, Jarvis, oh my gosh, that was so close of that becoming an empty net goal at the end there, because they just hit the post. And it was so funny, I thought, with Jarvis's reaction to that goal. Because if you guys saw, I mean, he kept trying to be like, come on, go in. But it didn't go in. And Jarvis was like, wow. Jarvis has such a great personality. I love it. Reminds me a little bit like Chad LaRose. Just a little bit. But Jarvis, I love him. I think Jarvis is really good. That whole line was good of his with him, Aho, and Gensel. Let's see. Anything else? Svetch. There were a couple penalties on Svetch. The first penalty, I agree with Brendamore, because Brendamore was livid after the first penalty, which was a boarding penalty in the first period. Ah, gosh. Toronto player turned at the last minute there. That should not have been a penalty, in my opinion. It really shouldn't. I agree with Brendamore there. Now, the trip, yeah, that was a trip, but it's just how it goes sometimes for Svetch, unfortunately. He's gained a reputation for the officials, and because of that, the officials are probably going to hold him a little bit tighter. I don't like it, but it's probably something Svetch is going to have to deal with. So, yeah, great game for Carolina. Not as many goals as the previous game, which they lost 7-6 to against a wild, chaotic game against Washington. But overall, very good win. And both Sam and I will see you guys Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter @The Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.